Hello everyone, my name is Alistair Ballantyne and welcome to this new podcast, The Big Soup, where we are going on a journey and an exploration through the human experience through a spirituality-informed lens. Now, to me, spirituality is the glue that connects all things, and everything is connected. So it becomes inescapable to talk about life and the world without having that kind of spiritual idea of things. Now, something that I would like to stress is when it comes to talking about spirituality, it's not about things that separate us from the world. It's not about things that try and make us seem more magical or disconnected. This is about finding ways to ground ourselves deeper into the human experience and appreciate the connections that we share with one another, because we are going through interesting times in our world, and a lot of the problems that we have in our world are because we have a spiritual deficit as a society. We look at the world as something to be conquered, as something to be dominated. We look at nature as something to be dominated. We even look at our fellow human beings as people to be dominated as we seek to achieve our own ends. I think this is all a load of crap, personally, because if we look at the world around us and the challenges that we're facing and the questions that need to be answered if we are going to not only survive but thrive in the future, is we have to recognize that a more harmonious, regenerative form of living and society needs to emerge for the human race to survive, because ultimately the planet will be fine. It will throw us off, it will do its thing, it will heal, it will regenerate, and it will still be here, and we won't be. And that would be such a waste, especially as there are those who are so intent on dragging us back to these distorted visions of the past, a past that never existed, a past where their imagined power reigns supreme rather than wanes as it does now. And I've got to say, I'm not into that. I am not signed up for that. I do not support it. I do not advocate for it. And one of the sad things that I have noticed in the spiritual discussion in the world at large is so many are wishing to drag the world backwards with open arms, with misguided notions of sovereignty, misguided beliefs in being free thinkers and autonomous beings, where falling rank and file behind very regressive, restrictive, and authoritarian ideologies seems to be the order of the day. One of the reasons I started this podcast and one of the reasons I came out as a spiritual practitioner was because of this culture. And it is a culture that to me is deeply unawakened, deeply disconnected, and deeply misguided in so many ways. So as part of the mission of The Big Soup and part of the mission of me as a spiritual practitioner and a human being is to discuss and platform ideas that promote something more positive and integrative, because there is enough stuff out there pointing fingers at the negative without doing the self-work to create something more positive. And believe me when I say that, this is my third go at recording this first episode, because while I was quite happy with the previous attempt, I noticed that it was a little bit too much Mr. Ranty Bollocks that I felt was comfortable for episode one. Not to say that we will repress and bypass these things, but it's important that we ease ourselves into the hot bath of transformation, nice, slowly, and gently, as if it was a Sunday evening after a long weekend preparing for the week ahead. So yeah, as you can tell, I like to have a laugh, because spirituality is also uplifting, you know, and a lot of the conversations I've had over the years with people and the very select few that I've considered as teachers on my journey, there is always so much laughter and so much joking. It's not a solemn affair, you know. So many people in the spiritual world on social media want us to bow down to them as if they are gods. They're not, you know. Bring me someone whose poop smells like roses, or better still, doesn't have to poop at all, and maybe we could consider them divine in some context, because they don't have to do something that the rest of us do. So when we're looking at this, and another thing that is troubling to me is that spirituality or awakened or these kind of terminologies have also become such a red flag now. Because oftentimes when you see people on social media laying into each other, saying the most heinous things and stirring the pot of fear and paranoia and anxiety, you might find words like awakened, conscious, new earth leader, blah, 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 empath, all of this kind of stuff in their Facebook bio. And it's really interesting to me how people have taken up the sword for what are thousands of years old ideologies, redressed with the woo-woo sparkly sheen, and pretending like it's something new or they're doing something noble, whereas it's just a waste of their time and energy and keeping them further away from achieving a state of personal awakening. So it's in this climate that the big soup must emerge. And as a man starting a podcast, don't worry, I did consult some of my women friends. I said, look, people have been on at me for ages to do a podcast. Is it okay? Because I've been to therapy a number of times and I don't hate women. So surely that's all right for us to have another podcast coming into the world. And they agreed. They said it was fine. The thing that is important about this is we need to recognize that we live in a connected time. And in a connected time, we have to make the best use of the resources that we have available to us to connect, to positively uplift, to inspire, but also to call out nonsense where appropriate. So there will be moments where we will discuss practices and ideas and perspectives that are limiting, that are negatively challenging to those who sign up to them. But it will always be with a focus of what can we do differently? Where can we take a different step? Where can we move towards something that is more positively focused and integrative for the road ahead for all? Because especially now, post-2020, a lot of the spiritual community has completely failed society, in my view. Because in times of uncertainty and challenges, the spiritual community, the practitioner community, should be paving pathways for people to walk, to meet the unknown with a sense of openness and a sense of peace and calm within them. Because spirituality is all about embracing the unknown with a sense of openness, which is why a lot of the tinfoil hat conspiracy types, yes, that's right, it's episode one, we're coming for them already, are totally unawakened. You know, they wouldn't know awakening if it hit them in the face, because they live in this paranoid world where everyone is out to get them. All of these things are wrong. And then there is a supposed like divine solution in a political figure or a movement or something like that, rather than recognizing these are the regressive movements that want to take us back to the past. They'll talk about the divine masculine. They'll talk about the divine feminine, and you peel the lid away from those conversations and you'll see that it's just age-old purity culture, which was false in the first place anyway. So there's many things there that have become deeply, not just problematic, but absolutely corrosive and cancerous, not just in the spiritual community, but in the societal community at large. If we are not recognizing that we have an interdependent relationship with one another, if we're not recognizing that we are all connected and we need to work together in various different ways, we will not survive. Individualism is incompatible with spiritual awakening, because in the Western spirituality, the New Age spirituality, now not all New Age is bad, but of course a lot of it is misappropriated nonsense. The worship of the individual overall, the idea that the individual can somehow become the center of the universe, is where we've got a lot of problems in our world, because it turns us off from being engaged with issues that actually can affect social change. If spirituality is the glue that holds everything together, and the drive is for more of a harmony in this world, in a sense of unity with one another, we need to recognize that we can't just pick and choose. We can't just say, you know, you're only awakened if you do ABC, but you're not awakened if you do XYZ. And when we see that people have these beliefs and ideas that are somewhat exclusive and exclusionary, we know that they are batting for the regressive team. So we can start to kind of shift the perspectives. And if we're going to employ binaries, why don't we have the binary of obstructive and constructive, or progressive and regressive, because then that frees us up from being siloed in these traditional binaries of left and right and all of these other things, when even on the political axis, the spectrum is horseshoe, where the two opposite ends are closer to each other than they would like to admit. So there's some real challenging things that just don't get addressed, because people are worried about losing their followers on social media, or people not buying for their things. As someone who does run a business of service that does engage in spirituality matters around well-being, personal transformation, reading services, and all this other kind of stuff, it has been a challenge sometimes to express some of these ideas and then have people descending on you saying, "You sound hateful. Oh my God, why are you saying that sort of thing? No. What people don't realize is they've swapped their religion for spirituality. They still believe in a savior that is external to them. They believe in the rights of the protected group over the rights of the unprotected group. The protected group will only be the ones that go through the doorway of the 5D planetary ascension, or whatever death cult ideology it is they've signed up to, or how they say, oh, you're not spiritual unless you eat a certain way, if you don't drink, or you don't take drugs, or you don't party, you don't listen to certain types of music. All of these rules and regulations that they don't realize is actually like for them individually, you know. Spiritual awakening, in a sense, should be about directing your own life. It shouldn't be about directing the lives of others. And people would be well served to develop the strength of character and the strength of self and a better self-concept, that people living their lives in ways that do not align with their own don't challenge them or don't cause problems for them. Because again, when we start to strip all of this back and we deal with the facts, we see that there is a lot more in common with the community that calls themselves the awakened truth seekers, or whatever bullshit it is that they like to wear proudly on their sleeves, like military badges. They have so much more in common with religious extremism and fundamentalism, along with political extremist ideologies and national extremist ideologies. All of this stuff goes together in one big bowl, you know, one big stew pot. It's a different kind of big soup that we're not even going to bother with eating it, because it is the equivalent of sewerage in the city of the collective unconscious. No one wants to be chowing down on that. That is not nourishing. That stuff's going to keep you sick. So it's not surprising that we see so many people with these ideas living in these paranoid little worlds, living in these tiny little boxes that they've created for themselves. And that makes me so sad. It makes me so sad to see this, because they are the ones who are losing out. They are the ones who are harming themselves. They are the ones who are ultimately falling behind, blaming it on everyone else, and especially when they start calling things demonic that exist outside of them. We all know that the term demonic has been used for many years to uphold colonialist ideas, with the colonial or imperial sanctioned religion as a tool of oppression against indigenous and natural spiritual practice. So for me, it really is about dealing with the BS, that is the big soup, while we deal with the big soup that we want to be a part of. You know, there's so much here to get stuck into. I also think that when we start to view these concepts as interconnected, we can really start to see the world as it is. It frustrates me when people like to make out that there is a conspiracy to supposedly keep us all enslaved by some dark spiritual forces, rather than pointing out that we live under a system that is grossly unequal. And maybe our drive in spiritual awakening could be to create more harmonious systems and pathways and frameworks in society, because then that's something that we can point at. It's something that is real, rather than something that is imagined, or the collective thought form of the paranoid fever dreams of the unawakened claiming to be awakened, living in their own little pocket matrix of reality. People are bored of having spirituality commodified and sold back to them for the highest bidder after, you know, their ancestors, their forebearers, however long ago, had their spiritual expression repressed, taken away from them. Physical harm was brought to them for practicing it, and now it's sold back to them by the descendants of those who took it away in the first place. Now, it's important to have that conversation, because when we are seeing people trading on spirituality and like, this is the right way to do it, this is the wrong way to do it, and then there is those barriers of access to practice, we need to see that it has just become another religious analog. Now, I'd like to make out very clearly that I'm not anti-religion. I'm anti-institutionalized religion. Because to me, religious pathways, when they serve for individuals and communities to be connected, to be bonded, to support one another, or to have, you know, experiences of the divine within, rather than it being about control and fear and getting as many people through the doorway of the place of worship so you can shove as much money into the plate that then goes into the leader's pocket. No. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, that is not a vibe. That isn't a vibe. But when we come back to the core truths of everything, they all seem to be about the same. You know, love one another, connect with one another, treat everyone as if you wanted to be treated. Don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't try to deceive. All of these things, you know? And people have become so, and we live in challenging times, and in challenging times, people do go to the extremes to find the solutions where moderation has failed. The extremes never hold the answers. They only serve to swing the pendulum out again for another round. We need to put the pendulum down. You know, we don't need it at all. We don't need this constantly swinging from one thing to the next. We need something better, more connected with one another, where everyone has a chance to have the dialogue. Not everyone's going to want to be a part of that, but the table should contain a space for them should they wish to sit down at it. So again, when something is exclusionary, something is exclusive, it doesn't provide those frameworks for people to choose to walk through the door. They might not do it today, they might not do it tomorrow, they might not do it for 10 years, but the fact is that pathway is still there. And all of this stuff, a more connected society, consciously interdependent society, something that is in service of the many rather than the few, all of this work begins with us as individuals. One of the visions that I keep having about the future, and I have had for many, many years now, is the vision of an inverting pyramid. So if you're watching this on the video, you'll see I'm currently holding up a pyramid in my hand. And if our society at the moment is structured like the pyramid, so many of us at the bottom and a very few at the top, and we're climbing to get up this pyramid, we're struggling, we're trying to step on one another, doing what we can to get by. This constant hunger games that we've been entered into since birth, this is no good. But then what I was being shown for the future was the pyramid inverting and flipping around. And at the tip of the pyramid, now at the base, this is the individual. And as we do our work, as we develop ourselves and we work on ourselves and we tread these pathways to becoming more consciously aware in ourselves, we move up through the pyramid. And as the pyramid expands rather than narrows as we go up, we come into more conscious connection with others. So at the top of the pyramid is this giant flat expanse where there is room for everyone. And one of the issues that I have with, you know, woo age spirituality itself, first zinger of the day, which is that very kind of commodified hierarchical spirituality meets capitalism kind of vibe, where yes, you can be saved if you spend 8888 on this course, or, you know, have this healing session that will cost more than your house deposit, and all of these kinds of things, is that they do not support this model of the inverted pyramid, because the person who is running the show is sitting at the top of their own pyramid, you know, and we have to recognize that we internalize these structures. You know, when these are all that we've known, we will defend them, we will internalize them, because we think that any kind of challenge to that or change to that is a direct assault and attack on us as individuals, which is not true. You know, we can take all that we are and move through and forwards into something different. For some people, it might be worth actually seeing this pyramid like an egg timer, We go through this current paradigm of things structured as they are, and then that brings us to a point of self-realization where we come to the inverted pyramid above and then continue to expand upwards and outwards. You know, there is no real hard and fast way to do that. It's a very much an individual path that can be experienced. But the thing is when we start to take spirituality away from being a commodity, well, at least solely, we are free to explore our own pathways. I don't have a problem with people being in business of service with spirituality. I'm one of those people. I don't care. You know, this is how I make my way in the world, as is with many others. But it's when people start to want us to treat them like, you know, divine, like they are the figurehead of some religion or some cult-like group, because cults and cult-like groups are a big problem at the moment, not just in spirituality, but in many, many aspects of society, particularly post 2020 as well. But that's something else that we'll get to on another day. But with all of this, with this climate, you know, we need to recognize, we need to become more savvy, we need to become more buyer aware, shall we say, so we can recognize the fingerprints of regressive ideologies, we can recognize the fingerprints of coercion, we can recognize when someone is trying to groom us to get us into their cult-like group, you know, and the kind of things that they might say or the experiences that we may have. There are many different trapdoors that when we are moving through life unconsciously make us vulnerable, because a lot of them are into our emotional hooks. And, you know, if anyone knows my work already, you will know that I'm very big on presenting emotions as how we experience energy. And again, you know, there are a lot of people who don't really take that approach because to them, oh, it's too simplistic, or they've learned spirituality through the Wu Age thing, and they're not recognizing that when we bring it back to emotions as energy, it makes it simple, it makes it accessible, and therefore more effective. When people see energy as an abstract or something outside, or something that is a bit difficult to be defined in such universal terms, we can see that they are firmly in the service of themselves and perpetuating their own personal mythology. You know, they are seeking to install themselves at the top of the pyramid, and you get to sit nice and uncomfortably beneath them. And a lot of us have been there. I've been there. I've got a lot of stories to tell for this kind of experience, but you know, we tend to find that they all sort of show up and manifest in the same kind of way. So if we are to have a good tasting big soup of the human experience, the ingredients need to be balanced. The flavors need to make sense. Maybe there is more than one pot of big soup. I would argue that there is, because we're not going to throw everything into one big pot. But for the purposes of the analogy, we need to make sure the flavors of our life are balanced. We need to make sure that things make sense and things are harmonious. When we are working with different flavors, herbs, and spices, we want to know how much of each is going to bring out the right kind of flavor, the right kind of texture, the right kind of experience. So there's a few things here that we can put on the table as a consideration before we even really get into anything, as to how they can serve us and how they can help us when it comes to exploring and expressing and coming to realizations of the self on the personal spiritual journey from the position of how does the individual function, but within the collective, rather than how does the individual rise above the collective, using the collective as its catalyst to propel itself into a higher position in the social hierarchy. Because that's not harmonious, is it? That's stepping over other people, that's using other people as fuel, which is something that I personally do not support and do not advocate for. All of this is kind of serving with the idea to explore spirituality in as practical and accessible terms as possible. And one of the reasons that I have chosen this path was, for one, I was born into a spiritual family. So, you know, for me, spirituality was curiosity. You know, what was it that speaks to something higher within you and follow that thread? But also creativity was a big thing, and music being the chosen medium of creativity. And to me, all art of any kind is channeled from some other place. You know, we are the artist is the vessel, the conduit, the articulator. And I found that as a nice way to really sort of try and find connections with something higher in life that could be elevating and meaningful for others. We think about pieces of music that give voice to things that we cannot give voice to. They narrate our experiences in a way that makes sense more than we would be able to do ourselves. There is a lot of beauty there, but then also the connective power of music. You go to a gig, you go to a rave, a party, a concert, whatever, and there is that sense of oneness and unity with the others in attendance. Music is probably the only creation on this earth that can unify in such a way, in a positive mindset rather than a negative, which we will find systems doing through positions of fear. And we just think over the past few years and how many things have come about because people don't understand complexity, or they don't want to take the effort to learn how things work beyond an ABC paint by numbers process. They dare to call themselves awakened. You know, there's a great irony there. So we will go through this journey with grace. We will tread firmly, but also with a light foot in other respects. And the more that we can sort of see the multimodal aspects, approach, and nature of this world, it will give us a way to find how we can be more expressed in the world, how we can choose a healthier self-expression, how we can be more realized through our lives and the things that we choose to do. Because ultimately, spiritual awakening is like watching something in a higher definition. It's like the VHS cassette version of the movie from when I was a kid versus the Blu-ray version, or you know, the 4K digital transfer version. We're still seeing the same thing. It's the same story. It's the same characters. It's the same sounds. Everything has a clarity and more depth to it and a richness to it that we maybe would have missed on the other medium of observation, which is the cassette tape versus the digital transfer. And when we see it like that, we can recognize that spiritual awakening is not meant to separate us from the world. It's not meant to separate us from the human experience. It's meant to connect us deeply with ourselves and with each other and just make us more of ourselves than we were beforehand. You know, not notice that like sometimes people, they'll go on like spiritual retreat, or they'll go do plant medicine ceremony or something. And then suddenly they come back and they're telling everyone else how to live. You know, they're dressed in like white, gray or beige linen clothes and is speaking in hushed tones like, yes, but I have achieved enlightenment. No. Anyone who claims to have achieved enlightenment has not. You know, it's a funny thing because humans are really obsessed with trying to place themselves above other people. They want to seem virtuous. They want to seem like they are progressing in a measurable way. But when we go in and we see that so much of this doesn't matter, and we approach it in such a way that we can still function and move through the world without taking on this pious, better than you mentality, or trying to subject other people to the conditions that we need as individuals to function, then we are a little bit closer to getting it, rather than tantric Tony who goes away for the weekend and comes back claiming to be some reincarnation of a Atlantean high priest and now we must all bow down to them. You know, this kind of nonsense, you know, there's so much of it out there. So we need to recognize that spirituality is deeply personal to you, to the next person, and it's not going to look the same. My path will not look the same to your path, and your path should not look the same to mine. And when we take that view, when we allow ourselves that, we can then recognize that we are the universe experiencing itself in human form. And if the universe wishes to experience itself in human form, and there's 8 billion plus humans, then this has to be expressed and experienced in 8 billion plus different ways. That makes it a little bit easier, because this is all about being yourself. And then we recognize that it is like a kaleidoscope, constantly rolling and shifting with all of these different perspectives working through them. And as we do that, we recognize the kaleidoscopic interconnected nature of the human experience gives us permission to be ourselves, to do our things, to go out, explore, experience, and express, and not have anyone else coming telling us how to live in a personal way, but still recognizing that as a collective, we're connected, we're interdependent, we have responsibility to one another, and we don't turn our backs on the world to create more pyramids that worship the individual. We have those inverted pyramids that start from the individual becoming realized and progressing into an unfolding of a connective understanding. That is the mission of the Big Soup. That is the mission of me as a practitioner. And next time we will come back and I'll tell you a bit more about myself and why I am doing this, why I do what I do. So my name is Alistair. It's been a pleasure to hang out with you today. If you're interested in working with me, feel free to head over to my website, alistairballantyne.com, where it's all about spiritually informed well-being, personal development, and supportive practices, whether you want me as a reader, a mentor, a teacher, a facilitator, or someone to just walk beside you as you go on your journey. There is something there for you. And for now, I express my gratitude for you joining me on this first bowl of the Big Soup. I will see you soon.